Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Let's jump straight in.
Tech Guide.
This was a real effort to push into that growing consumer space, very competitive space in Australia.
Tech Guide.
It does give the user plenty of options, whether you're working or viewing content on the device.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is the Tech Guide Podcast.
Knowing Apple, you just don't know what to expect.
Tech Guide.
They've gone from taking an excellent device and they've made it even better. It's had a redesign inside and out.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Tech Guide, episode 121. Welcome to the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company once again. And if this is your first Tech Guide podcast, welcome one and all. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's show, Telstra unveils an even faster 4G network, the app that lets you follow the biggest stories on Twitter without being on Twitter. And funerals go virtual with a new technology called One Room. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the Kogan version of the GoPro Action Cam, the Lenovo Yoga 3 Pro, and the Golf Buddy VS4 talking GPS device. And we'll close it out with the Tech Guide Help Desk. And it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. Lots to talk about, so let's jump straight in. Well, Telstra made a significant announcement today regarding the 4G network, or should I say the latest version of their 4G network. It's going to be called 4GX, and X marks the spot, I think. This is a new network that will utilise the new 700 megahertz spectrum that Telstra paid some billion-plus dollars for in the recent auction. Now, this is the spectrum that allows the signal to travel further, to have longer range, reach deeper into buildings and even in lifts. Have you ever wondered why don't mobile phone calls continue when you're in a lift? Well, because it's so deep in the building and there's a lot of metal and structure around it, that the calls drop out. Well, 4GX is going to solve that problem. That's part of the new 700 megahertz spectrum, the attraction of having that spectrum. Well, they did announce today that the network was going to be switched on in certain places. There were some areas in Hobart and Brisbane. There are some select areas in Sydney, Adelaide, Perth and Darwin that also have pockets of 4GX running. Now, the further rollout's going to continue in January next year, so that's January 2015, where it will be available within a 3-kilometre radius of all capital city central business districts, including 50 major regional locations as well. You know, places like Albany, Swansea, Bunbury, Ulladulla, Port Macquarie, Murray Bridge, just to name a few. Well, this is the same thing that they did with 4G not so long ago when it was initially available. It did start out in those urban centres and then quickly spread nationwide. And for Telstra, are making the claim yet again, they're going to have the world's fastest, not the world's, Australia's fastest, possibly the world's, but definitely Australia's fastest 4G network. Now, to take part, to enjoy these speeds, you'll need some of the latest smartphones. And these include the iPhone 6 from Apple and the 6 Plus, as well as the Galaxy Note 4, which is released this week. Also compatible with the new network is the iPad Air 2. So what you need to look for is the compatibility with that 700 megahertz spectrum, which is used in other parts of the world. And the latest smartphones, including the ones I mentioned, and the iPad Air 2, as well as other tablets as well for that matter, will be compatible on that network. Telstra also announced a new Wi-Fi hotspot that utilises 4GX, and that is made by our sponsors, Netgear, as a matter of fact. It's the Advanced 2. which is the new 4GX wireless hotspot. So you put a Telstra SIM card, it can connect up to 8 devices on the network for you. So very interesting addition there. I think that device, you'll see that reviewed on Tech Guide very shortly. We just received that today, as a matter of fact. So we're really looking forward to putting that through its paces and testing those speeds. But the movement towards these faster mobile speeds, obviously in a growing growing smartphone market, our demand for data and speed and bandwidth and connectivity are only going to continue to rise, and technology like 4GX is going to allow more data, even in crowded places like a football match or a shopping center where there's a lot of people around all using the same cells. The 4GX the network is going to help that along and help those people connect even further. Now, in terms of speeds, Telstra's claiming with a compatible 4GX device, that's an LTE Category 6, or it would also get Category 4. Don't want to get too confusing there, but sort of the very latest models, let's just put it that way. You'll have speeds on 4GX with the latest device of up to 100 megabits per second. Now, when I attended the lunch, we were actually tuned into the local Telstra network in the Sydney CBD, where some of the cell towers, in fact, not far from the Telstra main office in Sydney, so no doubt those towers near their office would have been switched on for us. But we did a test and reached speeds of 155 megabits per second. There's 155.39 to be precise, and there's a screenshot of the phone after the speed test as well. 4GX coming to you soon. If you have a new device, then you'll enjoy it now. And for those people who with older devices, just look forward that you can look forward to the fact that you'll have these speeds when you get your new phone. But if you want to read all about that and read a little bit more about that 4GX technology and the 700 megahertz spectrum behind it, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenning.
Tech Guide.
Keeping you updated and educated.
Well, we came across a very interesting new app today, and it is an app to look at the biggest trending stories, the biggest hashtags, the biggest trending topics on Twitter. But the interesting thing about it is that you don't even need to be a member of Twitter to enjoy it. This is an app that's aimed at those people who may be even older users who may feel a little bit intimidated by Twitter. It can be a bit intimidating in terms of all the just sheer amount of content that powers through. It's like a raging river. The tweets just never stop. And for some people new to Twitter or people who have not been on Twitter at all will just often wonder, how do I get through this? How do I find what's important to me? It does take quite a bit of time for a newcomer to get themselves accustomed to Twitter. Hence the reason why I think why the creators, and they're Australian developers as a matter of fact, up there in Brisbane, they saw the need to create this app that allows you to enjoy the best of Twitter even when you're not on Twitter. It's a really well-designed new app. So what it does, it goes out and aggregates all the most popular tweets and trending topics and stories and then puts them together in a timeline, very visually based timeline that gives you the top story. So if you click on one of those top stories, for example, Ebola, you click on that part of the app and you're taken then into a stream of tweets that have been collected by users who are verified. So people with verified accounts, and I myself have a verified account, so my stories may appear in Hash, I hope so. But we're talking verified accounts as well from not only journalists, but also from respected news outlets like Time, CNN, all these big companies that have verified accounts. Even celebrities, they'll be contributing as well. So they are the stories and tweets that are aggregated through the Hash app to allow easier navigation of the biggest topics of the day. Now, Hash will also work on a desktop on the desktop as well, so it's an experience not only for mobile, and it's only iOS at this stage for iPhone, but it will be coming to Android soon, I have been told. But the desktop experience is you can also navigate through a browser. So if you want to go to thehash.today, then you'll be able to have the same experience as you would on your phone, but there on your desktop as well. Now, the creators are Australian, as I mentioned, based in Brisbane. It was created by the design and development studio, Joseph Mark. It was also created with the help of Stephen Phillips from the company We Are Hunted. Now, that's the Brisbane music aggregation software. The company was actually acquired by Twitter to build their Twitter music app. So that was a pretty good company to be in if you want to create an app. Someone like Stephen Phillips, who has already built one thing that Twitter was interested in, and who knows, this may be the second. But Hash is new. It's only been out a couple of days. And if you do want to really get to the bottom of what is trending, what's hot on Twitter, then Hash is the quickest way to do it. With or without a Twitter account, there is a link there if you do want to actually join the Twitter conversation, where you can create your own Twitter account. But Hash, definitely worth checking out on iOS, coming soon to Android as well. And you can see some images and my story at techguide.com.au. Moving right along, and we are going to chat about funerals of the 21st century. The funeral has gone virtual. There is technology now that allows funerals to be webcast, to be broadcast to people anywhere in the world. And let's face it, there have been occasions where a loved one or a friend has passed away and we weren't able to attend the funeral ourselves or in person. But there is now a way to attend the funeral virtually. And it's by using a technology developed by OneRoom. Now, this service allows family and friends to tap into that live stream. So if you are unable to attend physically, then you could attend via this broadcast. So you can view the funeral either on a browser or on a smartphone app as well. So it does make it possible for everyone to at least pay their respects during the live funeral. And even if you can't watch the funeral live, you can actually view it at a time more convenient to you. So there's a funeral of someone on the other side of the world, maybe in the middle of the night here. If you don't want to get up in the middle of the night, you can get up and then re-watch the funeral at your own time. So look, this is kind of trying to meet the needs of everyday people and, look, everyday reality. And funerals are a reality. People die, unfortunately. The funerals are things that family and friends do sometimes have to attend. It is obviously a sad occasion, but also a celebration of that person's life and an opportunity for people to grieve in their own way, to pay their last respects to the family member or friend who's passed away. OneRoom has created a way for us to do that, to connect from anywhere in the world. There are plenty of places. It originated in New Zealand, has now made its way to Australia. There are a number of chapels already in New South Wales and Victoria that the system is ready to go and accessible. So what this means is that you can tune into the broadcast and even change your view. There are several cameras, so if you want to view the pulpit, you can. You want to view the casket, the coffin, you can also change the view or even view the audience, so you can see what other friends and family members are in attendance. So it really gives the user the control of how they want to view the funeral. OneRoom, funerals have gone virtual. It is the 21st century, and I think this has allowed funerals to now be accessible by people. Look, it's not easy to, not possible, I should say, to just simply hop on a plane and make it across to the other side of the world for a funeral, but now OneRoom allows you to do that. So check it out. My story is at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
And the Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand. And they've just released the Nighthawk X6. That's the AC3200 tri-band Wi-Fi router. That's right, tri-band. It's the world's first. Just think for a moment, though, about your household. Think about the number of wireless devices you have in your home. Is it 5? Is it 10? Maybe even 20. If you're at my place, it's even more. But if you find your devices aren't performing as fast as they should in wireless streaming or gaming, updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, the latest router from Netgear eliminates that problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone and everything in your home is streaming, gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennick.
Tech Guide.
Our first review of the show is for the Kogan Action Cam 3 Plus. Now, Kogan is a very successful company. It's an online retailer, has been around for a number of years now, and has had a huge success in bringing popular products, cheaper versions of popular products, and winning a huge audience. Well, the latest device, this Action Camera 3 Plus, is just the latest example of that. It is Kogan's version of the GoPro. Now, we all know the GoPro is that hugely successful action camera that you can strap it to anywhere, mount it anywhere, capture anything, and it's been a huge success. But one thing about the GoPro, while it is excellent device, it's not the cheapest camera in the world. So what Kogan has done is introduce the Action Cam 3 Plus at a very, very affordable price. It starts at $149 for the silver edition and $159 for the black edition. The black edition just seems to have more mounts included in the box, and as well as having standard across both models, a waterproof housing, as is standard with the GoPro as well. Now, we're talking the latest GoPros are the top-of-the-line GoPro Hero 4 Black Edition is $679, which is a far cry from what the price that Kogan is asking for his new devices. Well, is it as good as the GoPro? Well, short answer is no, it's not. But you know what? For the price, you're getting a decent value product. You're getting a lot of bang for your buck. As I mentioned, it does come with its own waterproof housing, and it has a micro SD card slot as well as a screen on the back as well. Now, that's a pretty good decent value if you were to buy all of those parts separately for the GoPro. The screen is a separate purchase to the Black Edition. It does come standard with the silver, but silver is priced at $549 anyway from GoPro. So the Kogan camera, out of the box, it does have the familiar mount, so it lets you connect it to your current GoPro mounts if you do own them, or if you want to buy some, say for the inside of your car, for your bike, for whatever you want to put it. The GoPro mount does work with the Kogan camera. It takes a bit of a struggle to make them fit. It's not precisely. It's not as easy and quick to with the GoPro using a GoPro mount, but it does have that familiar mount, so that you can actually connect the GoPro mounts, and with a little bit of effort, you can actually make them connect and screw those things in tightly, so that you're not going to lose your device. We tested the camera. We actually took a video of our Dalmatians, Ziggy and Logan, anyone who follows me on Facebook and on Twitter. You'll see that I share a lot of photos of my Dalmatians, and they were the stars of the show when I did a test shoot using the Kogan Action Camera 3 Plus. And I have to say, I was surprised at the results. It was better than I thought it would be. The GoPro, of course, offers broadcast quality video. The Kogan is not far behind. It's obviously not as good in terms of picture quality, color saturation, contrast, as the GoPro. The Kogan does, though, produce very respectable results. I did have a slight problem with image stabilization, although the Kogan device did say there was image stabilization on board. When I shared that video to YouTube, it did ask me if I wanted to have my video stabilized. I thought I did, and I let YouTube take it the rest of the way. Now, the features on board, you can shoot up to 1080i at 60 frames per second. You can also shoot in various like medium, wide, different modes, very similar to the GoPro. You can also take 8 megapixel stills as well, which are pretty decent also. But there are other features on board, like, for example, there's a laser pointer. So that what that does, it allows you to, even if you don't have the screen, it allows you to know exactly where the camera is pointing. So if your subject has a red dot on them, then they are being filmed by the action camera. That's a really smart idea. They've also got a sensor on board so that you'll know when if there's any movement. So it starts recording, it detects motion, and will record and will also stop again when there's nothing moving in its eye line. So yes, it does produce some decent videos. The footage I've captured is actually, you can look at that, the footage of my Dalmatian Ziggy and Logan. I made a little movie. You can check that out at Tech Guide. But look, overall, I think paying $149 for a GoPro type camera, I think no one's going to expect it to be as good as the full price GoPro. But a Kogan, again, offers really good value, value for money. If you can't afford the GoPro, then this is a great next step. I think it does really bring this type of technology into reach, more people's reach, and allows them to enjoy that on the go capturing with the Kogan Action Cam. If you want to check out my video and also read my full review, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
Now, next up is a review of the Lenovo Yoga 3 Pro Ultrabook. Now, I was in London for the launch of this product, and they did have their Australian launch just last week. So I've had the Yoga 3 Pro for a couple of weeks now. I've given it a pretty good road test, and I've written my review on Tech Guide. I'll take you through the product right now. Now, the Yoga 3 Pro is an ultrabook, a versatile, or also called a convertible ultrabook, very versatile, and it is obviously an ultrabook, and it's in its closed position, is only 12.8 millimeters thick. But what I really like about the product is its unique watch band hinge. Now, it's called the watch band hinge because it actually looks like a really wide watch band, a similar link structure. There's more than 800 pieces of aluminium and silver on board, steel, I should say, on board that create that hinge. And what that hinge allows it to do is to be folded out flat, to be folded at any angle you want, to even have the screen turned back on itself and folded back so that you can hold it in your hand like a tablet. So that really adds to the versatility. It also helps reduce the thickness. The hinge is what usually adds to the thickness of a product. In this case, it really connects the screen to the keyboard in a very precise and unique way. Now, there are several modes for the Yoga 3 Pro, and that's obviously laptop mode. You can also have stand mode. That's where the screen is at an angle. The keyboard is sitting flat on the desk. The screen is at an angle, so you can view it without quite comfortably at a comfortable angle. There's also tent mode, so if you can actually turn the screen backwards and you form a tent shape, you can actually position it so you actually have the screen upside down, but because it can sense it's in tent mode, the screen adjusts and again allows you to access that touch screen. It also has a touch screen and all the content that you want. So whether you're working hard on a document or just want to kick back with a movie, it also helps to do that. Now, it also has tablet mode, so that's when you fold the screen all the way back, hold it in one hand like a tablet, so all you're using is a screen. When it's in this mode, it disengages the keyboard, so you're not going to accidentally hit any keys and create any kind of error. On the connectivity side too, there are plenty of connectivity options. There are 3 USB ports, and very cleverly, it uses one of those USB ports as the charging port, which I think, again, another space saving and thickness saving measure. There's also a mini HDMI out port, SD card reader, the headphone jack, and also there's a physical keyboard volume control, as well as, of course, the on button. Now, what I liked about the device, it was very thin, very light, but it was a little frustrating because it was very difficult to open it, when the laptop was in the closed position. There was no little recess to actually put your finger to get any kind of purchase on that screen, so to try and get a grip and lift it up. Usually the laptops like this, you can easily lift up the lid with one hand. Well, what we found is we actually had to hold the bottom, get our fingers in there and hold the bottom down before we could prise the lid open. But once we did open it up, we loved what we saw. Quad HD screen, 13.3-inch screen, and that's with a resolution of 3200 by 1800. So your videos and movies are going to look terrific on it, as well as your websites, photos, videos, terrific. Great-looking screen, really crisp and bright, great contrast, great colours, a lot of detail. You're going to love that screen. Full-size keyboard, although it's a 5-row keyboard, just slightly smaller keys. It took a little getting used to, but what you don't get, though, is a full row of function keys. So if you are really into your function keys, you're going to have a shift happening for your top row of number keys that are also your function keys as well. So the Lenovo, performance-wise, has got an Intel Core M70 processor. It is very zippy device. It was started up in like less than 10 seconds. Same thing from sleep. It wakes up straight away. Processor is listed as 1.1 gigahertz, but it's dual thread, but it also goes up to a turbo boost of speed of 2.6 gigahertz. There's also an integrated HD graphics processor on board as well. So graphics performance is great for videos. Not really a gaming computer. Can handle sort of low-end games, but if you're really into the high-end gaming, that this might not be the laptop for you. Also on board, 8 gig of RAM and 256 gig solid state drive. That's a flash drive with an option to go up to 512 gig capacity as well. And as I said, it's got plenty of speed, really great performance, as well as being such a versatile device. It's also it's proven itself. It can work very just as well in an office as it does at home. So great for work and play. 802.11ac on board, Bluetooth 4, all the bells and whistles, plenty of preloaded software, included the Harmony, which is an app that can adapt to the device, tells you what sort of apps you're using in the various modes that you have the computer in. Pretty useful, but the device itself, very light, very compact, very versatile. You can twist this in any shape you like, in any kind of position you like, I should say. And it really does the job any way you use it. The Yoga Pro 3, it starts at $2,099, which you think might sound a little expensive, but when you think about it, you're getting a tablet as well as a laptop, as well as a movie viewer. There are so many guises to this device, so it's quite useful. If you want to read my full review, I've given it a star rating out of 5. I won't give away what it is here. You have to go to techguide.com.au to read all about it. Well, it's time to hit the golf course once again, I think. The weather's getting great. The daylight saving has kicked in and the weather's getting warmer. So perfect ingredients for getting back on the golf course. Now, just in time for your return to the course is the release of a new device called the Golf Buddy VS4. We've reviewed Golf Buddy devices in the past. These are these really small devices that can be so small they can be clipped onto your hat, onto your belt, worn in your pocket. And they can give you all GPS type of information, so distance to the hole, even give you a close-up of the green, and has got more than 37,000 golf courses preloaded. So wherever you take this device, anywhere in the world, the GPS will pick up where you are, not only recognize the hole, the course you're on, but also the hole you're on. So you can get all this very accurate information right there at your fingertips. But the Golf Buddy is a device with a difference. It can also talk. Now, the press of a button will tell you, will audibly tell you the distance to the hole. So if it's on your hat, for example, you reach for it, you don't have to actually get out, pull the device out to see it. It does have a small display so you can see the distance as well as a close-up of the green. But you can now press a single button, whether it's on your belt, on your hat, wherever it is, and it will talk to you. It will tell you how far to the hole, which is like having a little caddy in your pocket, I think. So very handy device. As I said, more than 37,000 golf courses preloaded. So once you buy it, there's nothing to pay. pay, no subscription fees, no data download fees. It's all there out of the box. It's got a rechargeable battery, run up to about 10 hours. It's also got a green view, so which is that close-up of the green, so it'll tell you the precise distances, and you can even see the shape of the green, and from the angle that you're coming at, that will adjust to suit your view. It's also water-resistant, so if you're out in the rain, it's going to keep working. So the Golf Buddy VS4, priced at $189.95, it's the sort of device that'll help you slice a few shots off your game.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Now, this is a question I've been asked regarding Facebook. Facebook, a lot of people take out Facebook pages. They set them up for their businesses, for their stores. Various people have a page that people hopefully like. So the more likes, obviously, the better. And there are a lot of people who are under the impression that if you've got, say, 6,000 likes on your page, that 6,000 people are going to see what you post on your pages. Well, the sad truth is that that is not the case at all. Facebook has once again changed its algorithm, and the sheer growth of the site really prevents everyone seeing everything. It's just too big. It's impossible. The number of pages that people like, it is impossible for every single post to be seen by every single person who likes your page, because they're all obviously your feed is made up of not only the pages you like but also from your friends who contribute their posts as well. So having this, and with that in mind, Facebook had to create an algorithm that would evenly distribute these posts to people who are engaging with your stories, engaging with your page, liking your stories. So they're the ones most likely to see your posts, the people who constantly engage with your content. Now, how many people do actually see your content? Now, people may guess, is it 50%? Is it maybe 20%? Is it even 10%? No, it's not. It's only around 6% see your posts. So if you've got 6,000, we'll use that as the example. So 10% of 6,000 is 600. 5% of 600 is 300. And so 1% of that is 60. So times that by 6, and that's 360 people would see your story from a like audience of about 6,000. So that's the math. Hopefully I've done it right, but that's the reality that Facebook, how it serves your posts to your readers, to the fans of your page. Now, there are ways, of course, to boost your posts. That's Facebook's a business. They want to make money, and it does give the users the option of paying to boost their posts. Anyone with a Facebook business page for their store or whatever, their restaurant, whatever they have it for, their trade, they will notice that these are offered to you quite regularly, whether you want to boost your posts. And for about $20, $40, you can actually get your posts seen then by up to 6,000 people if you want to pay. So while the organic reach is only 6%, there is the possibility, if you want to pay for it, to get to even more people. Is it worth your while? That's up to you to decide. But if you do stick to just the normal routine, roughly 6.5% of people are going to see what you're doing. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's the end of another show. Everything we've spoken about can be seen at techguide.com.au, and we love to hear from people. So if you want to get in touch, please email us at info@techguide.com.au. Special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been great having you with us once again, and we look forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.